Morning. Today's daf from Babakam is Memches. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on Zichron Nishmas Libegar V'Yala Bas Shmuel. We are on Menzayin Amid Beis, and we are in the middle of the fifth parak of Babakama. A little more specifically, we just started the fifth parak of Babakama. The first Mishnah is some residual discussions regarding Shur. But then we turn to the second Mishnah of the Masechta, of the fifth parak, and we are discussing now permission to go onto the other people's property. And if I receive permission to go on other people's property, is that going to be now an acceptance of any liability that comes that will come? So if you recall the Mishnah, we did the Mishnah yesterday. Mishnah started in the Bama, Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. So we're going to reread the Mishnah, and we're just going to see the Mishnah's position regarding going on other people's property, and what kind of liability does that accept? Does one accept upon himself when he goes onto other people's property? So the Mishnah starts off. So let's say you have a pottery maker, a jug maker, and he brings his jugs onto other people's property, and there was no permission to do so. So I had no right to be on the other person's property. Now, if his animal damages my jug, so he's going to be exempt from having to pay me because I had no permission being on that property. And let's go one step further, says the Mishnah. And let's say that when my jugs are on his property, and again, I had no permission to be there, let's say his animal gets damaged on my jug, so then I'm going to have to pay for the damage that's caused by my jugs. We can simply call this a boor, meaning I've placed a hazard in someone else's property, and therefore I'm going to be liable in doing so. And so therefore, I'm going to be chayv. Okay, and that's all when I do not have permission to be there. Now, v'im hichnes berishos. Now, but what if I do have permission to be there? So I asked the owner of the property, can I go into your property, and can I bring my jugs onto the property? And he said, yes, you can come on. Bal hachatzer chayiv. So the Mishnah tells us now that he has taken upon himself the responsibility to be chayiv. Hichnis peros of lachatzer balabais. Now we're basically going to do the same thing again and again, meaning that the Mishnah is going to give a number of examples of this phenomena where if I go on without permission, that's no good, and I'm going to be responsible for any damage that happens to the things I left on his property, and furthermore, I'm going to be responsible for any damage it causes to the owner of the property. And once I go on with permission, so then whoever put the item there am in the free and clear. Why the multiple examples? So, I mean, every example is going to provide its own unique chiddush. To be perfectly honest, the Gemara doesn't raise the question why so many different examples, but yes. In other words, it is redundant, but no, the Mishnah is not repeating for the sake of repeating. So there must be reasons why the Mishnah is giving more examples. Hichnis peros v'chatzir balabayis shalom b'rishos v'achatam behem v'shal balabayis pater v'im huska behem balaperos chayef. So again, now we're in the second example, and it's the same halacha, and it's regarding food. Truth be told is that when we see the Gemara here, Alex, the Gemara is going to give a chiddush in terms of why, what is the chiddush regarding food. So, but if I bring food into someone else's property and the food gets eaten, so the owner of the property is going to be exempt. And if my food damages his animal, so then I'm going to be chayev. But if I now ask him, can I go onto your property? Can I put food in your property? And he says yes. So at that point in time, he's going to be chayev. Now we're up to the third example in the Mishnah, where I bring my oxen to someone else's property, and I do so without permission. And it damages the shor of shal balabais. Oh, shenashko kabo shal balabais, or it bites the dog of the balabais. So pater. And the property owner's animals bite my animal that I left on the other person's property, and I did not have permission to be there, so he's going to be exempt. And nagach hu shoru shal balabais chayev. And then if my animal that I put in someone else's property without permission, if it damages other animals, so I'm going to be liable. Nafal abaro v'hivish meimav. If my animal falls into the pit, and now the water that was there, that was a storage pit for water, and the water that was there gets now disgusting and dirty, so chayev, so I'm going to be liable. Haya avivo benela socha mesham is a kofer. And God forbid, let's say there was a death that occurred as a result of my animal, and we're going to have to say the animal's a muad. The Gemara is going to make this point later on. You have to say that. The animal's a muad, so then me, I'm going to have to be paying kofer. V'im hichnus b'rishu. So now, but what if I ask, can I bring my animal onto your property? And he says, yes, you can. So at that point in time, once I have permission to bring it onto his property, so now he's going to be liable. Okay. Ad Khan, that brings us to the examples in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah gave examples of, basically, it's the same point repeated three times. If I bring jugs onto the person's property, food onto the property, animals onto the property, in all three of these examples, if I was Shalob Rishus, if I did not have permission, so then I'm going to have to bear the full liability of damage that was caused in and damage it causes to others. Masha Einkein, once I have permission, so then he, the homeowner, is going to have liability. Ad Khan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnah, not the end, but the end of the Tanakhama. Rebbe Omer, and then there's the Shita of Rebbe. Bekulan enu chayv achikaba alav lishmor. Rebbe says as follows, just because I gave you permission to come on my property does not mean I'm accepting liability. In fact, all I'm saying is, you can come onto my property, but that's it. Unless I say specifically, you can come onto my property and I accept Shmira, then and only then am I accepting Shmira. Just because I'm allowing you to come onto my property does not mean I'm going to be liable. That is the opinion of Rebbe, and Rebbe disagrees with the Tanna Kamma. But as we start the Gemara right now, the Tanna Kamma's position is not so clear. Meaning, we certainly know what Rebbe says. Rebbe says that there is no assumptions that are made. Shmira is only there when I articulate that I'm going to be a shomer. And if I don't make articulation, so then I'm not going to be a shomer. So Rebbe's position we know. What about the Tanna Kamma's position? So let's begin with the Gemara. Taima debishul abrishus. Let's start off with the first case in the Mishnah. First case in the Mishnah was shalob birshus, which means I didn't have permission. Now, if we stop there at the Mishnah, meaning obviously the Mishnah is going to go on and give us the other side of it, but if we stop there in the Mishnah, ha birshus lo mechai ba kederes beniske behemto debal chatzer. So if now we stop there and I said, well, once I have permission, so then what's the diuk? What's the inference from the Mishnah? Once permission is granted, so then me leaving my jugs on his property, so then I'm not going to be liable for damages done to his animal of the homeowner, of the property owner. Velo amrinan kibule kabel bal kaderes nitirasa de behemto de bal chatzer. And essentially, what are we saying? What we're saying is that we don't make assumptions. Meaning, I'm dropping my jug off on his property. All I'm asking him is, can I put my jug on your property? And all he's saying is, yes. Now, that was the entire conversation. And meanwhile, what comes out is that I do not accept upon myself any type of shmira from damage that my jugs do to his animal. And why didn't I accept that? Because I didn't articulate that. Because I didn't say it specifically. So in other words, a careful reading of the first case of the Mishnah would indicate that in the Mishnah's first case, very first case, again, the Mishnah doesn't say it explicitly, but the implicit reading is that just because I was given permission to go on his property does not mean I accept upon myself Shmira. And if damage then ensued, I'm not going to be liable because I didn't accept Shmira. So who's the author of that opinion? Mani Rebihi. So the author of that opinion is Rebbe. Damar kol b'stama lo kabel nitirasa. Because without a conversation, a specific conversation that relates to Shmira, I don't accept upon myself Shmira. I was granted permission to come on your property, but we didn't discuss anything after that point in time, and we don't make assumptions according to Rebbe. Okay, that's what we get from the first line of the Mishnah. Benenei Masefa. But then, why don't we keep reading on in the Mishnah? Because what are we going to learn as we read on the Mishnah? Im hichnis birshus said, if I go onto your property with permission, bal chatzer chayav. So at that point in time, the bal chatzer becomes chayav. Even though, what was the conversation? The conversation was only, can I come on your property? The property owner says, sure. And that now becomes an assumed acceptance of shmira for anything that you put on my property. Asan l'rabbanan. Well, that brings us to the position of the Chachamim. Damri b'stam enamiki bula kabel and tirasa. That even though there was no specific conversation about Shmira, that is an acceptance of Shmira. Visu, Rabbi Omer b'kulan inuchay v'achikabala balabayas v'shmor. And then you get to the end of the Mishnah, and we know what happens at the end of the Mishnah. We are greeted with the opinion of Rebbe, who says that in order to accept upon yourself Shmira, you have to explicitly state Shmira. And so now here becomes a problem. We've read the first case in the Mishnah. of Shalom Berishos. We made an inference in that first case in the Mishnah, which means that if I ask you, can I put my jugs in your property? And you say yes, and I put it down over there, that doesn't automatically mean I accept, I, the jug owner, automatically accept any damage that the jugs do. That's Rebbe's position. Then we get to the next case in the Mishnah, Berishos. And there, that accepts the Chachamim's position. Once I grant you permission to go on my property, so then I de facto become a Shomer. That's Chachamim. And then we get to the end of the Mishnah, and there we know for sure that that's Rebbe. So if we're going to plot out the Mishnah, it's Rebbe, Chachamim, Rebbe. So, Reish of a Sefer Rebbe Mitzias Rabbanan, the Gemara says, obviously we do not like that inconsistency within a Mishnah, where the Mishnah vacillates between Rebbe, back to the Chachamim, back to Rebbe. Doesn't seem like structurally that's how the Mishnah would work. I'm Rabbi Zera Tavra. So Rabbi Zera says, break the Mishnah. Tavra, Aramaic for the word shover. And that is, you break the Mishnah. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. Yep. In other words, you're right. We normally don't love this type of approach to the Mishnah. Excuse me. But break the Mishnah, and you're going to have to segment the Mishnah so that each line of the Mishnah is going to record a different Tana's position. The first part of the Mishnah is going to be Rebbe's position. Then we move on to the Chacham, and then we move back to Rebbe. Rav Amar Kula Rabbanan Hi. So, and Rav says no. That really, the entire Mishnah from beginning to end is the Chachamim. I don't mean from beginning to end. Obviously, the end is Rebbe. But in other words, from the beginning of the Mishnah up until Rebbe Shita, that is going to be Chachamim consistently. And again, remember, the Chachamim say that once permission is granted, that we're going to assume means that that is also an acceptance upon Shmira, even though Shmira was not articulated. So, over Ashur, Shmira, Kederas, Kibala, Balachatzer, Ve'afil, and Ishbra, Beruach. And the and when it says Bereshus, and when permission was granted, so what meant is, what was meant by that is Shmir's Kederes Kibala Balachatzer. The homeowner accepted upon himself that anything that happens to the jugs, he'll accept responsibility. V'afil nishbar beruach, and even if it breaks in the wind. And if you take a look at Rashi over here, so afil nishbar beruach de'o. In other words, the conversation went like this: come in, the antaralach ka'amarlach, and I will protect your jugs. Ava bal kederes lo kabalah midi, but the bal kederes did not accept upon himself anything. Meaning that according to the Chachamim, remember, if I was given permission, so that means that I de facto become the shomer. So I ask you the question: can I bring my jugs onto your property? And you say yes. Okay. So, on one hand, the homeowner is accepting, according to the Chachamim, on one hand, the homeowner is accepting upon himself to be the Shomer, making sure that no one damages the jugs. And on the other hand, the Baal Kader, the jug owner, is also accepting upon himself to be a Shomer. What's his Shmira responsibility? That my jugs don't hurt your property. Don't hurt you, and don't hurt your property. And according to the Chachamim, that's how it should have worked. And then, but the Mishnah doesn't read that way. So what the Gemara is saying is what Rava's understanding of our Mishnah is, our Mishnah is talking about a very specific scenario. Specifically, this is how the conversation went. Can I drop my jugs off by you? And I'm asking you, will you accept upon yourself full liability for my jugs? And the homeowner says yes. At that point in time, because the homeowner said that he was going to accept full responsibility, that's why the owner of the jugs has removed himself from any liability and any responsibility that happens to his jugs while someone else's property. That's because of the specific conversation. Without the specific conversation, so then the Chachamim would say, the homeowner is going to be responsible for nothing happening to the jugs. The jug owner is going to be responsible for the jugs not damaging anybody else. That's what would be if there was no specific conversation. Okay, it's not the easiest way to read the Mishnah, because you obviously have to incorporate an ukimta into the Mishnah, but at least by doing so, you have the entirety of the beginning going like the Chachamim, and you have the Sefer going like Rebbe. Okay, back to the Gemara. Hikmas peros of the chaser balabayit. I bring my fruit onto your property. And with Alex and I discussed this at the beginning of this year. The Mishnah is giving a lot of examples of basically the same idea. And so why all these examples? So, for the second example, where I bring food into someone else's property without permission, so the Gemara says, we could learn out the following Chiddush. Amar Rav. Lo shanu ela shehuchluku bahem. Now remember, I bring food onto someone else's property without permission, and his animal slips on my food. I, the food owner, am responsible. because I did not have permission. Now, what if instead of slipping on the food, let's say the animal eats my food, and not only eats, but overeats. And not only overeats, but dies. Am I responsible? So Rav is going to teach us no. Even though I brought the food onto his property, and even though I did it so without permission, him overeating my food is not going to create for me a liability. Any guesses as to why not? Grum is a good guess. And in fact, it's right, the... So the Gemara says, that's it. So the Gemara says, Achal. So Amar Rav Loshan Rav Loshahuk Luka Bahem Ava Achla Potter. If the animal eats the food that I put in, even though I had no permission to put the food there, so I'm going to be exempt. My time Ahavale Shalo Tochal. Because Rava says, the animal is in a position where the animal should have known better in terms of when to stop eating. Right? Us humans have this unique feature where we eat even though we're already full. Okay, it's a human quality, very human quality, and it's something we all struggle with. Okay, so, but by animals, generally speaking, they're good. In other words, when they're full, that's it, they stop eating. So the fact that the animal overate, so that's a function of, even though I shouldn't have put, in other words, it goes without saying, but I'll say it, I shouldn't put food on other people's property without permission. Okay, it shouldn't be done. But in terms of this particular circumstance and this particular liability, the animal is the one that should have stopped eating when the animal was full. The fact that it overate and it died, so that's a fault of the animal and that's not my fault. That is the opinion of Rav. Huh? In other words, the fact that he did is a function of the... In other words, you're right. In other words, the normal behavior is he doesn't. The fact that he did, okay, in other words, that's something that from my standpoint was unanticipated. And therefore, I can't be faulted. So, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes Hamina Kinayim V'Shach Rav, Amar Lahashmaita. Now, if you've never heard the statement of Rav Sheshes before regarding Rav, so Rav Sheshes says it often throughout Shas. I didn't look up on the side how many times, but whatever. It comes up a number of times. And it sounds a little caustic. And basically, Rav Sheshes is saying, Rav was sleeping when he said over this halacha, which is a seemingly impolite way of saying, Rav could not possibly have said this, meaning that it can't be. So, Ditanya, and the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why. In other words, Rav Sheshes is basically arguing with this statement to Rav, and based on the following. If, let's say, I put poison in front of my friend's animal, and my friend's animal eats the poison, So even though, can he take me to court? No, he can't take me to court. And now, right, I'll say it like Danny said it earlier, this is a classic scenario of grama, meaning that I didn't physically with my hands do the damage to the animal, but I did put the animal in a situation where the animal got damaged. So this is a classic scenario of grama. So medina adam, I can't be taken to court. Medina shamayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu, after 120 years, is going to be very upset. And some are of the opinion that Bidine Shamai means that you even have a moral obligation to pay. Meaning that the court cannot extract money, but you really caused the damage, you really should be paying. So morally, you're on the books to have to pay. Either way. So now, here we're talking about poison. And basically, the argument is, well, the animal shouldn't have eaten, and the animal should have known better. And we'll challenge that in just a moment. But right now, we're making the argument, and the argument is the animal should have known better. The animal shouldn't have eaten, and it should have known better. Now, instead of poison, let's say it was food. Now, there, food, meaning, and so it's within the nature of the animal to eat. So, if the exemption is only in the case where I put poison in front of the animal, it's because the animal really should have known better. But if I put food in front of the animal, it sounds pretty like a simple diuk that I would not only be liable b'dinei shamayim, I'd be liable b'dinei adam. In other words, this would be a classic case where I damage your animal by simply putting too much food in front of your animal. Now, if we use Rav's argument of the animal shouldn't have eaten so much, so then I shouldn't be liable. So Amri hu adina filo peres nami pater midine adam. So the Gemara says no. We're still going to support Rav. We're going to still defend Rav. And as far as Rav Sheshes' brisa that he brings down, we'll argue like this. Truth of the matter is, if I put poison in front of the animal, I'm not going to be liable. If I put food in front of the animal, I'm also not going to be liable. Why do the Braisa specifically talk about poison? It's not me. Because in the Braisa's case, the Chiddush is, not that you can't take me to court, although that is a Chiddush, but the real bigger Chiddush is, I'm Chai B'dinei Shamayim. Meaning when I put poison in front of your animal, I could have made the argument, hey, I really didn't expect your animal to eat it. It's poison. We all know it was poison. So therefore, I might have thought, I'm not even Chai B'dinei Shamayim. So the Braisa is coming to tell us the bigger Chiddush, which is that in such a scenario, I'm Chai B'dinei Shamayim. Ibai Semas Amamavis Nami Be'afrazasa Dahainu Peire. Or the Gemara says that the Braisa could be talking about a case where it's not like rat poison. In other words, it is an herb that has poison running through it. So basically, like an ivy. So basically, it, from the animal's perspective, it looks like food. So under those circumstances, then the Braisa not only is not challenging Rav, it's actually supporting Rav. Because it's basically saying that when I put food in front of an animal, the expectation is that the animal is going to eat it. And even though it's going to be harmful to the animal, yet you're going to be so it could be that we're talking about a poison that really is a natural organic poison, and therefore the expectation is the animal is going to eat it. Meitzvei. The Gemara challenges Rav once again. Aisha shenichnasa litchon chitim etzel balabai shelo birshos. Let's say a woman goes into someone else's property. She is going to make use of her neighbor's grinder. Okay, neighbor has a grinder and she has wheat and she wants to grind her wheat. So she goes in, but she goes in without permission. And va'achatam behemto shabal abayis. And the homeowner's animal starts eating the food of the woman, putter. So the homeowner is going to be exempt. And of course, in other words, this exactly follows our Mishnah because the woman went in without permission. So therefore, any food that she brings in, she's not going to get reimbursed if damage happens. And again, we'll go one step further. Im husku chayavis. Now, if the homeowner's animal gets damaged on the food, so then the woman herself is going to be chayav. Because again, she had no permission being on that property. Now, when we say that the woman got, I'm sorry, when we say that the homeowner's animal got damaged, how exactly did it get damaged? So right now, we are thinking when reading the Braisa, that what did the animal do? The animal ate the wheat. That's what we think. Now, if you're Rav, wait one second. You said that when it comes to eating, we said that really the animal should have stopped eating. The animal should have known better. So according to you, Rav, how did you understand the Braisa? So Amri Umi Adifa Memasisa Dokim Nashuchlakabam. So Rav says, well, you misunderstood the Braisa. The Braisa was not talking about where the homeowner and his animal ate the wheat. We're talking about where the homeowner and his animal slipped on the wheat, and that's how they caused damage. So the Gemara says, Utikarila Maikarila. And in fact, the answer was so obvious. Well, what did you think? Meaning, why did you even think it was a question? So Amalacha Bishlam Amasisin Katani Im Huzka Bahen. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. I thought it was a question because read the Mishnah carefully. The Mishnah says, Im Huzka Bahen. It got damaged by them. Sounds like the Mishnah's construct cases where the animal slipped on the wheat. But But here in the Braisa that we just quoted, we said the animal was damaged. It didn't say bahen. Velo katani bahen. So therefore, achiluhu diktani. So that's why we thought going into the Braisa was speaking specifically about eating the wheat. So that's what that's why we thought there was a difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. V'idach hamalacha loshna. And then whoever is defending Rav is will just simply tell you, I know it's a one-word difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa, but really there's no difference. Meaning the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about when the animal slips on the food. But if the animal were to eat the food, so then the owner of the food is not going to be liable because the animal should have stopped eating. Tashma. The Gemara.
That is, the nezek is delayed. For example, it ferments
right
to the behemoths.
Right.
Blows up.
Okay, could be. That, right. Right. And once there's a delay, so then you can argue grammar. Okay. Tashma. Hichnis sharo lechatzer balabai shelo birshus. I bring my shore into somebody else's property without permission. This is back to the Mishnah. This is the third case of the Mishnah. Right? Mishnah has examples of jugs, food, and an animal. So I bring my animal to someone else's property. V'achal chitin v'itris. Sorry, this is not the Mishnah. Okay, I misspoke. This is a brisa. So the so I bring my animal to someone else's property, and again, no permission. And the animal ate wheat, and the animal then had terrible GI issues and had diarrhea. Umeis, and the animal died as a result of that. So pater. So now the homeowner is going to be exempt. Now, but if I ask him permission and he goes in there, so then the Baal Chatzar is going to be chayv. Now the Gemara says, now can we make the argument over here that why if I ask him permission and he said yes, and my animal eats and the animal has then terrible GI issues, so why should I be chayv? Why should the homeowner be chayv? Shouldn't the homeowner be able to say according to Rav, an animal should have known better, animal shouldn't have eaten? Amarava Birshus Ashalo Birshus Karamis. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. The Brisa you just quoted. When is a homeowner chayev? Once permission is granted. So how can you compare that case to what we're describing? So the Gemara says, Birshus Ashalo Birshus Karamis, Birshus Shmira Sharo Kibal Alav, V'afilu Chenek Asatzmo. Once I have given, once permission was granted, that your animal can come onto my property, and let's assume like the Chachamim, and where I take it upon myself that now I've accepted full responsibility for your animal. At that point in time, it doesn't matter what happens to your animal. Even if, I know this sounds strange, but I'm just translating the words of the Gemara. Even if the animal were to hang itself, I'd be responsible. Once I accept myself to be the shomer, I am going to be liable. Now, right, the question which we've dealt with since the second parak of the Masechta about cases like Ones, and even in cases like Ones, you'd be liable. Kind of hard to say fundamentally you're chayev, but the basic idea is, yeah, once I accept permission, and once I accept shmira, that's it, I'm going to be on the hook. And don't compare this case to the previous case. In the previous case, the argument can be made. You didn't have permission to come on my property, right? The animal ate, the animal overate, the animal died. The animal should have stopped eating. Okay. The,
yeah. Isn't this a case of Shomer Chimon?
Yes.
Well,
so Ones.
Right, so I'm saying, that part is, right. I'm not totally clear on that issue. It's a good question. Okay, I'll move on, but acknowledging that's a good point. Kabbalah, Duma, I'm sorry. Shmir Shoros, Kibbalah, sorry, where did I just end up? Shmir Shoros, Kibbalah, Afil Chanakasm, Ibai Lahu. We're in Memzayin Amud Beis, we're about 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud at the 2 dots. The Gemara now asks the following question. Now, Rashi points out that the Gemara's question over here can work according to the Chachamim, can work according to Rebbe. Remember, the two basic opinions are, according to the Chachamim, once I give you permission to go on my property, I become a shomer. Even though we didn't articulate this point, I become a shomer once I give you permission to come on my property. And according to Rebbe, no, you have to have a specific conversation about the homeowner becoming a shomer. And until that point in time, the homeowner is not a shomer. Either way, either you hold like the Chachamim or you hold like Rebbe, in either way, this question the Gemara is about to ask is going to be relevant. And the Rashi makes that very point. Now, Ibailu, Hech de Kiba Allah Nitira Samahu. Denaf Shehu de Kiba Allah, Odoma Afil Nitirasa de Alma Kibal Allah. Let's say you ask me if you can come on my property, and I say yes. And let's say we hold like the Chachamim, which means that I become the Shomer. Does that mean that I'm ensuring that none of my animals is going to harm your animal? Or does that mean that objectively I'm going to be the protector of your animal? And I will protect it from any damage, both internally and externally as well. Meaning if another animal were to come and to damage your animal, I'm accepting that kind of liability as well. Now, Tashma. The Gemara says, well, consider. Deni Rav Yehuda Bar Simon ben Nezikin, Debekarna. Rav Yehuda Bar Simon learned the Masechta called Nezikin. Now, we're not familiar with the Masechta called Nezikin, and at the same time, sure we are. The Masechta called Nezikin is what we're in the middle of learning right now. Once upon a time, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra was one long Masechta made up of 30 Prakim. It's not unusual. Kalim, the first Masechta in Taharos, has 30 Prakim. Shabbos, the first Masechta in Moed, has 24 prakim. I know that's not 30, but in other words, it's the first Masechtas are generally long, sizable Masechtas. And then an executive decision was made. I don't know who made it. I don't know when it was made. Clearly, at some point while the Gemara was being learned, to take the Zikin and to divide it into three Masechtas. And that's why it's called, right, you should, maybe I should have said this at day one of the Bavas, and that's why it's called Baba Kama, the first gate, Baba Metzia, the middle gate, and Baba Basra, the last gate, meaning they really are the three sections of this very large Masechta called Nezikin. So, Rav Yehuda Bar Simon learned the Masechta Nezikin in the Yeshiva of Beikarna, and he echnes peres of lechitza lechatzer balabais. And here's what he learned: that if I bring my fruit into someone else's chatzer shelo brishus, and I did not have permission to do so, ubashor mimakom acher, and another animal. So here we're introducing now somebody else's animal, third party's animal, comes in va'achlan and eats the potter. So he's going to be potter. Now that's a pronoun. And we don't know right now who the he is. So stay tuned. The im hichnes bereshus, but once permission was granted, so then chayev, so then he's going to be liable. Okay. Man pater man chayev. So there are three people involved in this episode. The owner of the animal, the owner of the property, and let me say that again. The owner of the food, the owner of the property, and an owner of an outside animal. Third party's animal. So there are three parties involved in this episode. And we know that the Braisa says that without permission, exemption. With permission, liability. For whom? Okay, you like that? That was English. That was good English. For whom? So man chayev. Lav pater balabayis chayev bal chatzer. So I'm sorry. Lav pater. So lav pater bal chatzer chayev bal chatzer. So presumably who we're talking about is the liability towards the bal chatzer. Meaning when the homeowner does not give permission, the homeowner is going to be exempt. When the homeowner gives permission, the homeowner is going to be liable. And what we're learning now together is liability includes not only liability for any damage that he does to the food, but he's going to be responsible for any liability that's done from any external damage. Even if an outsider were to come and eat the food, the homeowner would be liable. This would presumably be the right way to read the Braisa, and if it's the right way to read the Braisa, question answer. Question, when I give you permission to come on my property and I accept Shmira, am I accepting Shmira from my property or am I accepting Shmira from any external factor whatsoever? Seemingly, if this is the right way to read the Braisa, I'm providing you Shmira from any external damages. Amre lo. So the Gemara says, okay, but there's another way to read the Braisa. And the Braisa could be read as follows. Pater balashur, chayev balashur. It could be that the p'tur and the chiv is going on the owner of the animal. Now, vi bal ashur, the Gemara says, let's think about this. My birishus, umay shelo birishus. Now, if we're talking about the owner of the animal, permission, no permission, what are we talking about? Meaning, it is the owner of the food who is asking, can I or can I not bring my food onto your property? If you have a third-party animal coming onto the property, what difference does it make whether it was with or without permission? So the Gemara says like this, Ika, I'm sorry, my brishus, my shalom brishus, Ika. So Amri, so they said in the yeshiva to answer this question, brishus havile shein brishus anizak, v'shein brishus anizak chayevis, shalom brishus havile shein brishus harabim, v'shein brishus harabim petura. A brilliant answer. The Gemara says like this, if I bring my food onto someone else's property, and I did not ask him permission to do so, so therefore my food has no business being on his property. Or to put it in other terms, we are not joint owners of the property. Now, when he gives me permission, I of course do not become an owner to the property. But vis-a-vis the halacha of Shein Bereshus Hanizak, Shein Bereshus Rabim, once he gives me permission to be on that property, I become kind of like a partner in that property. As far as damages are concerned, that is considered my property. So consider. It's really just such a smart answer. If, let's say he doesn't give me permission, I'll go in the order of the Braisa. Let's say he doesn't give me permission to put my food on his property. I just put it there without asking. So now, if a third party animal come in to eat that food, so remember, what kind of nezek are we talking about? Shane. When are you chay of shane? Only ubir b'stei acher. Only when I did it on someone else's property. But let's say my animal were to eat food in a rishus harabim. So then we know, we've discussed this since the beginning of the Masechta. Shane v'rishus harabim is pater. So if he did not have permission to put that food on the homeowner's property, on the property owner's property, so vis-a-vis the third party, this is tantamount to eating food in a rishus harabim, and therefore the owner of the animal is going to be exempt. If, however, I ask him, can I put the food on your property? And he says yes, so vis-a-vis Shane, this property now is considered mine. And as a result of that, when someone else comes in now and eats the food off that property, that is bir b'stei acher. That is considered eating food off of someone else's property, and therefore the owner of the animal would be chayev. Really, just a smart answer on the part of the Gemara in terms of how to explain the brisa this way. Okay.
You're assuming the owner of the animal is not permission. Only the owner of the food.
The owner of the, right, correct. And if the owner of the animal had permission, so then you're right. So then it would be the right. Then it would belong to all three of them. Yeah, agreed. Okay. Tashma. So again, we're still left with the question on the table. Let's reset the question on the table. If I give you permission to go onto my property and bring your stuff on my property, am I A, accepting responsibility for any of my animals or any of my property doing damage to your property? Or B, am I accepting any and all responsibility for your property, including outside damages as well? That's the question on the table. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, consider. Hich nishor lechatzah balabai shlo bereshus, uba shur mimakam acher v'nakchal pater. If we are, this price is discussing now where somebody puts a shur on my property uninvited, without permission, and a third-party animal comes in and does damage, so pater. And again, right now we'll just leave it as a pronoun. He is exempt. Okay. Now, v'im hechnes balachatzer, v'im hechnes bereshus chayev. But if he asks me, can he have permission, and I grant him permission, and then the same scenario, a third-party animal comes in and does damage to my animal that had permission to be on the property, so then chayev is going to be liable. He is going to be liable. So once again, let's ask the question. Man pater man chayev, la pater bal chatzer, v'chayev bal chatzer. So presumably we're talking about the bal chatzer. Now over here, we're not talking about shame. We're talking about negicha. We're talking about Karen. So the only way to explain it is that the homeowner. And again, if this is the right shot, we have answered our question. When the homeowner gives permission, the homeowner is saying, I accept any and all damages that occur to your animal. So, lo, pater bal shur v'chayev bal shur. So the Gemara says, okay, well, I'm going to try to read the brisa a different way. And really, the liability exemption is talking about the bal hashur. To which the Gemara says, ihachi, well, wait one second. Mirishus, my birishus, my shalom birishus, ika. Again, the Gemara says here, permission, no permission. Now, unlike in the previous case where we said, well, we're talking about Shane, and then it makes a really big difference, here we're talking about Karen. Karen does not matter where it happens. A tam chatzi nezek, a muad nezek shalem. Irregardless of where the damage were to occur. So over here, so what difference does it make? So Amri Hamani Rabbi Tarfani Damri Mishuna Karen Bechatzar and Izak Nezek Shalem Mishalem Nezek Shalem Mishalem. So the Gemara says, well, we could suggest that the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Tarfon does make a distinction even by Karen, where Karen that's done in the Rishus Rabim Chatzin Nezek Karen for Tom. Yeah, absolutely correct. Karen done in the Rishus Anizak for Tom Nezek Shalem. Now, if the author of this brisa is Rabbi Tarfon, so then we're going to come back to what we said previously. Then it does make a difference whether it was with permission or without permission. And the Gemara spells it out. Birishos havi le'karen v'chatzar anizak, v'mishalem nezek shalem. Shelo birishos havi le'karen v'shos harabim, v'lo mishama ela chatzi nezek. Okay, atkan divrei habrisas. So again, we ask the question, when I give you permission to go on my property and bring your stuff onto my property, am I accepting limited liability? and only being responsible for any of my property doing damage to your property, or am I accepting full liability? That was the Gemara's question. Gemara brought in two brises to that seemingly supported the answer. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. A woman comes in and she wants to bake in her neighbor's property using her neighbor's oven. And asa barcha damara debesa achla alisha chavalumets. And then a goat, the homeowner's goat, comes and eats the dough. And a chavil, Rashi explains that apparently the dough was warm, whatever, caused upset the GI track of the goat, and the goat dies. Chayva rav lishlume demei barcha. So Rava says that the homeowner is now, sorry, the woman is now responsible to pay for the death of the goat. Now, lema pliga de rav, dama rav, havile shlo tocha. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Remember the beginning of today's shir on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Rav said the halacha that, I'm sorry, Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Rav said a number ago. Rav said the halacha that if an animal does damage by eating, so even though you did not have permission to be there, but nevertheless, that's the fault of the animal because the animal should not have eaten it and the animal should not have overeaten. So if the animal in here in question has eaten the dough, so then it really should be the animal and the animal's owner's responsibility, not the woman's responsibility. Meanwhile, Rava placed fault on the woman, and Rava placed the financial responsibility on the woman. So the Gemara's question is a very simple one. Does that mean that Rava disagrees with Rav? So, Havi Shalotochel, Amri Hachi Hashta. To which the Gemara says the cases are not comparable. Hasam Shalob Rishus, Lo Kiba Alav Nitirasa. Hacha Birishus, Kiba Alav Nitirusa. So the Gemara says that no. That when Rav was saying over the halacha, Rav was talking about a case where you went onto a property and you went on Shalob Rishus without permission. Here, however, when the woman went onto the property, she went on with permission. And since she went on with permission, so once permission is granted, there is responsibility and liability going in both directions. Meaning, what the homeowner is essentially saying to the woman is, yes, come onto my property, and I will be liable for anything that my property does damage to you. But at the same time, the woman is also agreeing, correct, and I will make sure that none of my property does damage to you and to your property. So once permission is granted, so now the woman becomes liable. So,
what's the difference between this case and the other cases that we discussed? Probably nothing.
What to say? Previously when Rav said over the halacha, Rav was talking about without permission. And so without permission, so the owner of the food did not accept upon himself liability. And then the animal overate, but the animal shouldn't have overeaten. Here, once the person comes onto the property with permission, it's also the person's accepting upon himself responsibility of, I'm going to make sure that nothing I own is going to damage you. Now, wait 1 second. It'll become clear in just a moment. So, So the Gemara says, well, let's consider now. There was another case where a woman went on to her neighbor's property in order to grind grain. And she went on without permission. If the property owner's animal ate the food, the property owner is going to be exempt because she had no permission being there. And again, furthermore, if damage was done, so then she's going to be liable. If her grain were to damage the animal, so then they're going to be liable. Tamish lo birshus, ha birshus pater. So the Gemara says, but that means that once she goes on with permission, so then she's going to be pater. So over here, she was given permission to come on, and so she is in this particular case not going to be responsible. So the Gemara says Amrei. So the Gemara says like this, and this will help us understand both cases. Litchon chitin kevin de labayt niyusa midi lo bay misalke marvasa dechatzar nafshayhu. So the Gemara says like this. Baking is a very unique activity. Now, I don't understand, this is my shortcoming in the Gemara. I don't fully understand why baking requires modesty, meaning that for some reason baking is going to put her in a compromised position. Oh, she's going to expose herself. I don't have a good visualization why that's so, but let's just say it's so. That the act of baking is going to put her in a compromised position, in an exposed position, and therefore she required tznius. So that means that when she's going baking and she's given permission, it's understood that she will be the only one in that room doing the baking. Once there's that understanding, so then at that point in time, she becomes responsible for any damage that her food does to anybody else. You see, unlike in the case of the grinding does not require any type of extra modesty. And so therefore their expectation is, can I come onto your property? I need to grind. And the homeowner says yes. But the homeowner at that point in time doesn't have to excuse himself from the property. And because he doesn't have to excuse himself from the property, the expectation is that the homeowner is still there on the property. And that's why in that case, if the woman's food were to damage the homeowner's property, the woman would be exempt because there was no expectation that the homeowner is going to be leaving. So basically, now this comes back and hopefully it resolves your issue. Meaning that in the case of the woman where she brought dough into the other person's property and the goat ate the dough and Rava says you're going to be liable, it's particularly in that case where there's an expectation that the homeowner has to move away. Something along those lines. And by Trina, you don't have that. So the homeowner goes away. Once there's that kind of understanding and expectation, then she becomes responsible for any damages done by her food.
Before, when you go into shoes, the onus is on the Bala Chotzer to watch. Now, she goes in with shoes. The onus is on her, not on the...
And because baking is unusual, because baking demands that everyone else has to leave the premises. So the understanding is that she's going to be left alone. So now the homeowners no longer have any type of expectation of watching and making sure that her food doesn't damage his property, because she needs the privacy. And it's understood that she's going to get that privacy. Okay, let's continue. I bring my shore onto the other person's balabai. So this is now back to the Mishnah, third case of the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah was going back all the way to Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. First case of the Mishnah was I brought jugs onto the other person's property. Second case is I brought food onto the other person's property. And third case now is I brought animals onto the other person's property. So let's say I bring animals onto someone else's property and without permission. And then, you see this by dogs a lot. And then they start digging up the property. And they dig a hole in the property. Bal hashor chayev beniske chatzer. So, number one, that's direct damage to a person's property. And so the owner of the animal is going to be liable and responsible for that damage. That's easy. Here's where it gets interesting. Bal chatzer chay beniske habor. The owner of the property, however, is going to be responsible for the hole as a boar. Now, even though, I know this is going to be interesting. Even though the owner of the property did not dig up the hole, and an uninvited animal came into the property to dig up the hole, and yes, the uninvited the owner of the uninvited animal is going to have to pay for that damage, but subsequent damage done by the pit is going to be the responsibility of the homeowner. Why? Now, it's true that as a general exemption by pit, and we've seen this once before, and now we're seeing it a second time, as a general exemption by pit, we know that one of the exemptions by pit is that I'm only liable for a pit that I dig up. If my animal digs up a pit, so I'm not going to be liable. So now, really got to wrap our heads around this idea that's about to come up in the Gemara. that if my animal goes into somebody else's property uninvited and digs up a hole, so he, the homeowner, is going to be liable for that pit. Why should that be? The Gemara says, Hacha. Gemara says that if ample time was given to the homeowner to cover the pit, and he doesn't cover the pit, it's as if he dug the pit. So basically what we're learning now together is that there's a liability of pit, even though you're not the pit digger. But if you had a chance, it's on your property, and you had a chance to cover it up, and you didn't cover it up, so then you're going to be liable. And it's as if you dug the pit yourself. If an animal goes into someone else's property, if I bring an animal to someone else's property, and I did so without permission, and it damages the homeowner, or the animal, or the balabais huzak bo, or the owner of the property gets damaged, so then the owner of the animal is going to be chayev. Ravatz pater. But if the animal squats, so then the owner of the animal is going to be exempt. Now mishum de ravatz pater. So the Gemara says, now that doesn't make any sense. Amar papa my ravatz shehirvitz golalim v'natvu kelev shabal abor. So the Gemara says that if the animal, this happens unfortunately too often, if the animal relieves himself on the person's property and then you step in it, so the owner of the animal is going to be exempt. Why? The Havir Galalambor, because again, just from a halachic standpoint, how do we categorize the excrement of the animal? That's bor, right? In other words, that is a hazard in someone else's property, so that's what's called a bor. And we know the halacha is that bor is responsible for damage caused to a person, but bor is not responsible, that's damage that's done to kalim. And so the Gemara says, and that's why, so my neighbor's animal leaves his animal unattended, goes onto my property, defecates on my property, and I step in it, so then I can't send him the dry cleaning bill.
So why isn't the grain from the woman considered?
I can, however, send my neighbor a letter explaining to them how unhappy I am over the circumstance. But hanich l'shmol damar bar kolta kala borhu. So the Gemara says, now that works out very good for Shmuel. El rav damar ad demafka luhu maik lamema. But remember, machok is rav Shmuel, which we've seen earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to see it later as well. Later in this parak, I believe. So according to Rav, bor is only something which is hefker. So the Gemara says over here that's kind of easy because Amri Stam Galalim Afkurim Afkalahu. The Gemara says, yeah, but we're talking about excrement over here. I think it's fair to say that once your animal has relieved himself on whoever's property, so the excrement is at that point in time declared hefker. Although maybe you can argue that back in the good old days that's good fertilizer, but I guess but the Gemara really didn't have much of an issue saying that even according to Rav it works out well because the excrement is considered hefker and therefore for falls into the category of bor. Okay, Danny, I'm sorry. What was your?
Why isn't the grain from the lady that went into dry without permission considered bor?
So the grain.
After all, I believe you said because the animal is damaged on the grain, right?
Right. The patur of bor is only for kalim. The patur for bor is only for kalim. The patur for bor is not. In other words, damage to animals, damage to people, you're going to be chayiv. It's only for kalim. So if my clothing gets dirty, so then that's kalim, and therefore I'm going to be exempt. Okay. Adkan will stop. Mind you, by the way, just I guess what. In other words, if you were to slip on the excrement that was left on your property and you got damaged, so now that's going to be a liability.